Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is for November the 10th, 2019, as we take a look at my best, your best. What is our best? We're going to look at the best of us. Really? Okay, we'll take a look at that. I think we'll probably have some more emails on this subject. I want to remind you that your year-end donation is the key to our ability to offer to you radio programs, TV programs, and everything I do at Aspire, including, of course, my hospice work, my BATMO work with the children. Everything that I do depends upon your loving support. It is only through your tax-deductible gift, as you well know, that all of the offerings and services that Aspire offers can, well, generate, can help, can serve humankind. I hope that you will become a sponsor or make a year-end donation today. Our mystery donor is matching all donations. He is being very generous and kind, as he always has been with Aspire. And I hope that you will take a look at, what Aspire does for you, how important it is to your life, and maybe the offerings it has given to you, and become a sponsor. For your sponsorship, you receive many beautiful gifts. If you are the type of person who is sincere about the depth of yourself, working on the depth of yourself, it is easy to adopt philosophies and get involved with things like that. Make your body and mind think it feels good. It's something far different to penetrate beyond body and mind and go into the vast resources of the spiritual heart, which is huge. It's absolutely huge. And something that, well, constitutes a great goodness in your life. Anyway, with the sponsorship, you not only get the message of the month each and every month that I do, and it's a little half-hour, 25-minute ditty on a spiritual subject that is the key to my monthly discourses and the journal that I write every month for you. This month, for the month of November, it's on mercy, the goodness of your mercy. It's an interesting, way to look at life, not as a philosophy, but as a direct experience. You also get the podcast, videocast, commentaries, and they are very, very unique. Not many spiritual teachers would reveal these things to the public. That's why they're kind of hidden behind the sponsorship program. So if you have a taste for the beauty of your own life, the beauty of living, the meaning of your life, then I hope you will become a sponsor and let the mystery donor match your donation dollar for dollar. You can go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see, you know, the splash page on all of this. Just click on it and enjoy. I think there's a wonderful story there that I feel is so very true about human nature, and maybe you can see the value of it and then become a sponsor, or at least make a donation, year-end donation. That would be very helpful as well. Everything is matched. Everything is tax deductible. My best. What is your best? Have you ever thought, what is the best I can do? Was this lifetime the best you could do? Is this person that you are right now the very best you can be? And what does that even mean? What is the best? I have great difficulty with all of this best stuff, but a lot of people make it the selling point for their philosophies. And to me, it doesn't float. But let's look at this. First question comes from Robert in Los Angeles. What do you do with the less than best attitude? I have a less than best attitude about anything. I don't really see any reason to live, Robert. Robert, you join a crew of people, I'm sure, who think the same way you do. They don't see any reason for living. They don't offer their best. I mean, why should you? What's in it for you kind of thing. I have found, Robert, and I'm going to be very frank with you, although I've never met you, that there is absolutely nothing I could say or do to appeal to the spiritual end of your life, to bring about any kind of love in your life. Your resistance to probably love and kindness are much stronger than my ability to accentuate the importance of it. I don't think there's anything I could ever say. When a person has confounded themselves to a place where they have literally and logically come to that cul-de-sac of why do anything? It just doesn't matter because everything has to affect the outer life. There is nothing, you know, you can do. I have no words for you. There is a certain nuance that a person has to be able to get beyond. It's the nuance of what I call survival mentality. When a person is only interested in their survival, it makes it very, very difficult to get beyond that survival mechanism into the substance and the meaning of what it is to live our life in a authentic manner, authentic modality. And most people aren't interested in that. They're interested in comfort and gratification over and over and over again. And as people get older, I find in my students, they just kind of wind down because their motive for living was to have fun. Their whole motive of living was to enjoy themselves. They never saw this experience as anything other than that. And after the mind and the synapses have fired off in that direction over and over and over again, repeatedly for a lifetime, it makes it very, very difficult to alter that. Very difficult. You would have to really want it with all of your heart and soul and strength, and you would have to really practice. You couldn't let the human mind leak in there. So what do you do with the less than best of yourself? Well, why don't you just drop the whole idea that there's a better side to you? That would be the first thing. Maybe there isn't. Maybe there is. I don't know. But again, to persevere in a logic and a reasoning that is based in assumption and philosophy simply is not going to help you very much. And it isn't going to change anything either. You have to see the way of the heart. Listen, try to understand. It isn't your best you're looking for in this lifetime. It's the authentic. And if you can live in the authentic, then something transcends the body and the mind. This something is called consciousness. The development of consciousness leads to the realization of the soul. If you can understand this, and I'll give you a very crude insight on this, but maybe it will help. When you really work upon yourself, your soul takes the place of the importance of your body. You know how your psychology thinks in terms of constantly perpetuating some kind of pleasure for the body, pleasure for the mind, to make this whole experience of living amenable to our desires, our ambition, our pride, our vanity? Well, when you achieve a sense of bodilessness, when you no longer are interested in the conditions and the circumstances of the body, all of a sudden you will find that those conditions and those circumstances tend to drop away in their importance. Oh, they have a place here and there, but you're looking at it from an entirely different point of view. And instead of looking at it from the lackluster ideals of the human mind, which is only looking for escape from itself, you're in the presence of something so magnificent. You're in the presence of something so beautiful. your soul. And now it takes precedence over the body's constant desire for more, 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 more. This is something that the human mind cannot really fathom, cannot really understand nor appreciate. It is an interesting phenomenon that we find in meditation. When we are no longer living for the mortality of the body and discovering the immortality of love, because it is all about love. This is why it is so deeply important constantly to realize forgiveness and compassion for those who we feel have, quote unquote, despitefully used us. And once you understand this, once this has become important enough to you, this presence that lives within you, you come to a loving heart. A freedom flows through you. And the freedom comes from your soul. Like pain and pleasure flowed through your body to define and accentuate your body. It's all in the ebb and flow of your heart. Robert, you could do this. The likelihood of you doing it is based in your intent and your willingness to discipline yourself beyond the confines of the way you were raised, your genetics, your DNA, all of that. If you're going to live in those confines, then you're going to be stuck forever. But if you can live beyond the beyond, as the Buddha said, you start to realize there is this great, magnificent presence within you. And it will define everything that you think, say, and do. It will define the touch of your entire life upon the face of this earth. And you will do magnificent things that are beyond the best. They are the authentic. I wouldn't worry about my best. I would worry about my authentic, as it were. I hope that helps you, Robert. Please forgive me. Namaste. The second question. This is from Ingle. From Colorado. That's interesting. What do we do when our best is not good enough? I try. It's never good enough. Ingle. I've had those moments too. As we all have, these human moments where we're doing what we think is our best or is our best, and it just doesn't seem to be enough to change a given situation or a circumstance or maybe pleasure someone's, desires. You have to begin, Ingle, to look at it from this point. If you're going to do your best and it's not good enough and it may never be for certain things, then what is the message? What is it that we need to hear and to understand? What are we talking about here? Maybe you're not suited for something, or maybe you can't see the bigger picture. I have found this. You have to have the bigger picture. You can't limit yourself to the small picture of right and wrong, good and bad, life as you know it inside your brain. You have to expand to the heart. Listen, nothing is more powerful than love. Nothing is more eminent than love within. It emulates an eminence of the soul. And once you understand that, beyond the experience of your intellect and into direct experience of your consciousness, that is when things begin to truly change. You start to see things in the light, not in the darkness. The light of your goodness. Here's what I have found, and I offer this to you. Give up Ingle. I gave up Greg. You have to give up something. If you give up Ingle and his ideas, his ideals, his faults, his past, his fear of the future, if you give up all of that for the sake of just surrender, a gift to life itself, you will start to find that you have found your place in this lifetime. You have found your place inside your heart. You found your place inside your own world. Most people are vying for affection, not insight. They're vying for wealth, not understanding. They're vying for power and prestige, and not humility and kindness. These are the things that really stick. Generosity is a huge, huge accomplishment in the course of a person's lifetime. So there you are. Generosity is the means for insight. And if you don't have generosity, if you're not interested in generosity and loving kindness, what do you have? You only have the makings of your body, your ego, and what it will dictate to you for the rest of your life. So look at Engel and forgive him. He knows not what he does. And concentrate and focus on, what is it about me that doesn't need Engel? How is it I can sit here and meditate or contemplate living without Engel? What would it be like to no longer think from him, act from him, believe in him, condone him, condemn him? What would it be like just to circumvent him, move around him, not really, let's say, associate with him? That's what you have to do. And if you can do that, if you can allow for that, you will see that there is another way to live. There's something more important to live by and live for. You will find the courage to do things that make no sense to Engel, make no sense to what he wants, what he believes in, what he thinks he can do, what he thinks he can't do. You will go beyond him. You won't be thinking about what he is limiting you to. You start to rise inside. Love will bring you to that, so to speak, resurrection of your heart into your life. And now it's all about love. It's all about the goodness of love, the kindness of love, the immensity of love. It is all about living, real living. Now you're, Engel, listening to a man who has done this, and you have to be sick of your sickness. And that's what makes all of this happen. You have to be sick of your sickness. If you are not tired of yourself, if you are not tired of your pride, your ambition, your fear, your hate, your whatever, if you're not tired of it all, and you can still prop it up and try to keep that ego going, then nothing I said will be of any consequence to you at all. But when you are really tired of yourself and you don't want to do any more Engel in your life, you see the futility of him, the deadness of it all, and you just don't want to go there anymore, that is when something of the other shore will arise in you. You will start to see things in the light of love. You will start to go on a journey, a real pilgrimage back to your heart. And you will live from the soul, not from the mind, not from the emotions, not from passion, not from reason, not from the human instincts, but from love itself. You can do this. You can do it right now. It can start, but it is a practice, and you're going to have to practice diligently. No practice, no change. You have to get involved. It's going to be a real life changer for you if you do. Ingo, thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you for listening to Aspire and your kind comments. And please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. Is there a better best I can live by? Are there things I can live by to help me be my best? Harold. And he doesn't tell me where he lives. You know, we've been conned into thinking that we need to be better and best. We have been conned into thinking that life depends on us being better than what we were, or better than others, or better than this, that, and the other. This is what we've done. And we miss our life, our entire life. We miss the meaning and the significance of what it means to be goodness. Harold, if you would replace better and best with the expression of generosity, forgiveness, kindness, and become, shall we say, a crusader for kindness, as I tell the children, then you would have something very special in your life, very unique. It is to break through the shab and drudgery of living in our genetic minds that purely live out of other people's mentalities that came before us, and how we share their body, their brains, and everything else, their tendencies in our own human body, that we find meaning in life. Most people have no authentic meaning in life. They're just surviving. And after a while, that gets rather shabby and dingy. And there is the issue. Gets very, very difficult. Pretty soon, from out of nowhere, we become kind of disinterested in our own life. And we don't know why. People will say to me, you know, the things I used to like to do, I don't care for doing anymore. The things I used to have to do are now gone, and I don't know what to do with myself. I hear this all the time. These are people who are wayward, who are foolish, who just simply don't understand the way, the truth, and the light, nor do they care to. They have succumbed to their body. And all of the things that go on in the body, the misgivings, the misunderstandings, they make no effort to find enlightenment inside of themselves. It all goes back to one thing. You're either going to live by the presence of your soul, or the persistence of your ego, which belongs to your body and your genetics. If you live by that persistence, you're going to want to stay alive only because you're afraid of dying. If you go to your soul, you will find the immortal part of yourself that isn't really a self. It is a presence. This presence oversees everything in our lifetime and constitutes substantial meaning in everything that we do. You know, Harold, I could sit here all day and talk to you about this, but really, what good would it do? To really hear what I have to say, you have to be disinterested in yourself. You have to be sick of your own sickness, as Lao Tzu said. And if you're not, then anything I say just simply doesn't matter anymore. So when you hear the words love, or I love you, or the presence of love, or soulfulness, or anything, what do you think? What does it draw in you? Probably very little. And that's the problem. Is there something you can live by? Yes. Forgive, give, and love. That's what it's really all about. Nothing less will do. I'm out of here. Thank you, Harold, for your loving email. I really appreciated it. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Please forgive me. You know I need it so much. Namaste.